chapter 24. Genesis 24. We have a chapter here with 67 verses and a message with 26 points today. So I guess we better get going. Genesis 24, the subject matter at hand is seeking a bride for Isaac. Now, Genesis contains many remarkable types of Jesus Christ. I want to caution you before we begin here. This chapter is not one in which I'm comfortable with the commentator's assessment of this chapter, as they present this chapter saying it presents a type of the Holy Spirit seeking a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd be more comfortable with the statement that this presents a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, or of the Holy Spirit seeking a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 4, we read that Abel, or no, we didn't read that, but in chapter 4, Abel is a type of Jesus Christ. All the particulars there in Genesis 4 of the life of Abel and the death of Abel, the first shepherd, they matched the history of the Lord Jesus Christ contained in the Gospels. Okay, so you can say Abel was a type. When we look at the Ark of Noah, the Ark that Noah built, we can say that's a type of Jesus Christ. Every one of those 20-some particulars there matched something in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are types. When they're types when the material in one place matches the material in another place exactly, then that's when it's safe to say that is a type. When we see Abraham in Genesis chapter 14 rescuing Lot as a type of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, rescuing the New Testament Jews, all of those things match up perfectly. Now, in Genesis 24, you have at least 26 particular details where the servant seeking the bride for Isaac matches the Holy Spirit of God gaining a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you also have a half a dozen, maybe a dozen things in this chapter that don't match. And so for that reason, we want to be very careful and just say this is a wonderful picture, but the chapter isn't really a type. I just want to be careful about that. For example, you say, what am I talking about? In verse number 1, Abraham, a picture of God the Father, is said to be old and well stricken in age. Well, God the Father is not old and well stricken in age. God the Father is not broke down and about to die. We thank the Lord for that. In verse number 2, Abraham calls his oldest servant. Well, the Holy Spirit is not the oldest of God's spirits. And he's got a bunch, you know, he doesn't have a bunch of other ones up there. But the Holy Spirit, you know, he's just his favorite. In verse number 3, there's no bride among the angels or any other creatures up there where God dwells. In verse number 9, the Father is not the master of the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, the servant asks Rebecca for a drink of water because he's thirsty. Okay, the Holy Spirit doesn't need anything from the bride of Christ. Amen? All right? So the Holy Spirit, he's not begging us to help him out in any way. And many, many things down through this chapter that just don't match identically. So it's not a type, and we're not going to push this thing all the way, but it's going to be a blessing. Don't get me wrong there. There are a number of remarkable things in this chapter. Abraham is indeed a picture through the book of Genesis of God the Father. Isaac is a picture of God the Son, and the only begotten Son of the Father carried that wood up that mountain all by himself and laid down his life as a sacrifice, and then he came back down from that mountain that mountain, Abraham having in a figure received him from the dead. Okay, and no sooner had he come back down that mountain of sacrifice than he disappears from the pages of Scripture. How like the Bible's recording of the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked up Mount Calvary alone and laid down his life as a sacrificial payment for the sins of the world, and then came back alive, and then seemingly just disappeared. Seemed that nobody had seen him since. But all during that time, the servant that has gone out from the Father's house has been seeking a bride for the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of these days, bless your soul, that bride and that bridegroom will be united in the Father's house, and there will be joy and rejoicing forevermore. That is a picture in Genesis 24. That's the picture. And we want to go down through here, and we're going to cover this whole chapter and look at about 26 particulars that match up. And I believe this will be an encouragement to you. I hope it will be as we search the Bible together. So let's pray before we read this. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we have the Word of God. We're grateful, Lord, that it's so clear that you have put these pictures and these types in your Word that only you could do. Lord, it's so obvious that you have this is your work, and only you could know that these actions of Abraham and his servant and Abraham's son could be pointing to a future plan that you had. And so we're just grateful, Lord, that you have placed this in here to be a blessing to us, and we pray that it'll be a help to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 24. We're just going to take this bite by bite here. Seeking a bride for Isaac, a picture of the Holy Spirit seeking a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 24, verse number 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Okay? And we see here in this chapter, first of all, that the servant is sent by the father. Okay? The servant is sent by the father to seek out a bride. The servant is not sent to seek a bride for the father. The servant is not sent to seek a bride for himself. The servant is sent to seek a bride for the son. Now, the Holy Spirit of God has been sent by the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, not to seek a bride for the father, not to seek a bride for himself, but to seek a bride for the son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, secondly, that bride is not going to be composed of Canaanites, born after the flesh. Canaanites, idolaters, Canaanites, those pagan people who believe only in the things of the flesh or only in the things of the world. The only person that's fit, the only person that is suited to be a bride for the son is someone who has had a birth that makes them kin to the father of the bridegroom. You can't be part of the bride if you're just an old Canaanite. You can't be part of the bride if you're just an old idolater. Somehow or another, you're going to have to be kin to the father. There's got to be that relationship. You got to be kin to the father of the bridegroom before you can ever be a part of that bride. It takes a new birth. It takes a born-again experience to be part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, notice in verse number 5, the Bible says, And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, well, that woman, she doesn't have any choice. It's been predetermined. She must be the bride of the son. No, it doesn't. That's not what the Bible says. Okay, Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. All right. Notice in these verses, first of all, the son is not going to go into that country. He's not going to go back to that place where he spent his childhood to seek a bride for himself. The son is going to stay in the father's house. He's going to abide in the father's house and trust the servant to bring the bride unto him. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, God the Father. He's not going to come back down to this earth to show the prince in his hands. He's not going to come back down to this earth and show you some vision of himself in your hospital room. He's not going to come back in the sky and give you some chills running up and down your spine. If you don't respond to the ministry of the servant, if you don't respond to the pleading of the servant, if you don't answer the drawing of that servant, you're not going to ever see the bridegroom. He came one time. He came to the cross. He died. He's gone back to the right hand of the Father, and nobody sees him but the bride on the wedding day. If you're waiting for some miraculous vision or some revelation, or for Jesus to show up in the plate glass window of some sort of building, he's not going to do it. The Holy Spirit of God has gone out into this world. He will tell you about the Father. He will tell you about the Son. He will show you how good he is. He'll make him known unto you. But you are not going to see him with your eyes, just like Rebecca did not see Isaac with her eyes. That's not how you become part of the bride. You respond to the ministry of the servant, the Holy Spirit in our case. Now, then notice that the servant here, or the Holy Spirit to us, seeks, and the servant appeals, and the servant invites, but the servant will not force. The servant will not coerce. The servant is not there with a net. He's not out there with a set of handcuffs. He's not out there with a tranquilizer gun, and he's gonna go out there and say, "Oh, there's one. There's the one I want." Bam! Unconscious, throws her on the back of the camel and hauls her back to Isaac. Oh no! He says, "Let me tell you about my master's boy. Let me tell you how wonderful he is. Let me tell you how he grew up, the beloved one of his father. Let me tell you about his miraculous birth. Let me tell you how he carried the wood up that mountain and laid down his life as a sacrifice. Wouldn't you like to come and be the bride of this man?" And you know what Abraham told that servant? If she will come, bring her on. If she won't come, let her go. You just tell her about my boy Isaac. You just tell her she can come and be the bride if she wants to be the bride. If she chooses willingly to come, then let her come. Whosoever will may come. But if she doesn't want to come, Mr. Servant, if she doesn't want to come, Mr. Holy Spirit, you've done all that you can do. You've done all that I asked you to do. You can tell her about the Father. You can tell her about the Son. You can tell her about the invitation. You can tell her about the riches. But you cannot make her come against her will. And if you tell her and you plead with her and you invite her and she chooses not to come, you are free from the oath. You've done all that you can do. All right, now the Holy Spirit works in this world to speak through men, to speak through the Scriptures. The Spirit and the bride says, come. The Holy Spirit will convince you of your sin. The Holy Spirit will open your eyes and show you Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will make known to you that there's a hell for the Christ rejecter and a heaven for the one that receives the Lord Jesus Christ. But having done that, the Holy Spirit has done all that he can do. If you want to come and be part of the bride, he would be glad to have you. If you don't want to come and be part of the bride, he'll just leave you there with, you know, he'll just leave you there with your pitchers and your water pots and your thirsty camels and sheep, because that's all he came to do. It's all he can do. Amen. All right, now in verse number 10, the Bible says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Notice the father, all the father has is in the hand of his servant, it says. The servant represents the father. The servant has all the riches of the father. The servant has all the goods that the father possesses in hand. But the servant is sent to reveal. The servant is sent to make known. The servant is sent to manifest to the potential bride the riches and the wealth and the glory of the Father. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9, eye hath not seen, nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And almost everybody who quotes that verse stops right there. But that's not where God stopped. In the 10th verse, he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. I've never set foot in heaven, but the streets are gold, I know that. I've never been near the place, but I know the gates are pearl. I've never laid eyes on it, but those walls are jasper. You say, how do you know that? The servant came down from the Father's house and told me all about it. Amen. I've never seen God in all of his glory. I've never seen the angels round about the throne praising his name. I've never seen the cherubim and the seraphim falling down at his feet and worshiping him and crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And his train filling the temple high and lifted up above the earth. I've never seen those riches. I've never seen any of that stuff with my eyes, but the Father sent the servant down from his house and told me all about those riches, told me all about those goodies that he's got up there. And I just figured, man, if all I'm getting right now is just one little glimpse, if this is just 10 camel loads, what must the rest of it be? I think I'd like to find out. Verse number 11, the Bible says, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Notice this servant is not laboring for his own pleasure. This servant is laboring for the pleasure of his master. There's nothing that grieves the Holy Spirit more than to hear all these preachers glorifying the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that grieves the Holy Spirit more than all these TV preachers and all these radio preachers talking about the Holy Ghost, lifting up the Holy Ghost and praising the Holy Ghost, magnifying the Holy Ghost. Jesus said when that Spirit of truth is come, He will not speak of himself. He will not glorify himself. He will not lift up and magnify himself. He will take the things of Jesus Christ and show them unto you and exalt and magnify and glorify the Father and the Son, not himself. This servant is down on his knees and he's praying and he's saying, for Abraham's sake, for Isaac's blessing and benefit, nothing for himself. What a picture of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Most preachers, they make a lot about the servant Eliezer. And there's a song about, you know, the camel trains and Abraham sent out his servant Eliezer and all that, all the rest of that stuff. If you read Genesis chapter 24 very carefully, and we're going to, you won't find any name in this chapter for the servant. He is entirely anonymous. You know what the Holy Spirit's name is? He doesn't have one. All through the Bible, you have names of the Father, Jah, Jehovah, Almighty, the Holy One of Israel, the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth in eternity. You got all kinds of names for the Father. All through your Bible, you have names for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the Son. He's the Messiah. You know what the Holy Spirit's name is? He doesn't have one. He doesn't have a name anywhere in the Bible. You know why? Because he's not here so that you can know the Holy Spirit. He's not here so you can pray to the Holy Spirit. He's not here so you can glorify the Holy Spirit. He's here to point you to the Father and to his beloved Son. That's the ministry of the Spirit of God on this earth in this present day. All right, now the Bible says in verse number 13, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. I want you to notice some things here. The Spirit of God is praying to the Father, and he says, I want to get the right bride. I want the bride that's right for Isaac. I want the bride that is pleasing to Isaac's father. And I want you to notice that the Spirit of God is going to reveal the Father. The Spirit of God is going to reveal the Son. The Spirit of God is going to present the invitation to one who meets a certain set of conditions and qualifications. You are not saved by your works. You are not kept by your works. Salvation is all of the grace of God. But when that sower went out to sow the seed of the Word of God, there's nothing wrong with the seed, but the good seed did nothing on the rocky ground. The good seed accomplished nothing on the thorny ground. The good seed accomplished nothing in the belly of the fowls of the air. The good seed only bore good fruit on the good ground. There's something about the heart condition of man that makes a man respond or reject the revelation of God when he hears it. Now, there's all kinds of women in this country, in the country we're reading about here, all kinds of women coming out there to draw water. And yet, this servant says, now, this is what I'm looking for. You know what that woman did? That woman came out there. She humbled herself. She took that water pitcher down off her shoulder. She gave drink there to the servant. She took that pitcher and gave drink to all those camels. You know what that woman did? She humbled herself and took the low place. And having humbled herself and taken the low place, having humbled herself and taken the place of a servant, she's ready. She's willing. and able to receive the revelation that the servant brings of the Father and of the bridegroom. Now, you can say what you want. You can stand out there all day long on that street and preach the Word of God. You can knock on every door in town, and you can hand out tracts until your arm falls off. And I'm going to tell you something. The people who are proud and self-sufficient and conceited and think they've got an education and think they've got a certain amount of Bible knowledge and think that they're religious, those people won't come to Jesus Christ if you try all day long to get them to come. But the people that are down and the people that are humble and the people that realize that God is great and I'm not, God is holy and I'm not, God is good and I haven't been, it's the people that will take the low place who will end up coming to the Son and coming to the Father and being made part of the bride. Amen. Some of you were church members for years until you got down low. Some of you were educated for a long time before you got down and humbled yourself. Some of you were pretty successful in a lot of things. Some of you were doing real fine in the affairs of this life. And you know what God did one day? He just took you down so low that you'd be willing to take a pot of water and give it to a stranger's camels if that's what it took to be right. And when you got down to that place where you got low and got humble and quit being so puffed up and so proud of yourself, then you started to see how wonderful the Father and the Son really were. Do you know why some of the bigger ministries get so many letters from places like Africa and the Philippines and some of the third world countries compared to the very few letters they get from Americans? Because those people in those other places, they're way, way down low. And the Father and the Son and eternal life and heaven and a new birth, that sounds pretty inviting to them. You know why people in the United States of America don't want it? They got air conditioning, they got color TV, they got money in the bank, they're going out to the restaurant, and they got all the comforts that this world can offer. You know, so what do I need with God? You know, what do I need with the Father? What do I need with the Son? Amen. You know that's true. You know who responds to the preaching of the Word of God? The people who are down low. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. Maybe you remember that day you came to Christ. What did God do to bring you down so that you would hear, so that you would receive? I remember that day very well. Now come down to verse number 22. The Bible says, and it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel's weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. So watch what happens here. This man says to this woman, my master is a great man. I am his representative. My master's son is a wonderful man seeking a bride. I'm his representative. Will you receive me? She had never seen the Father. She had to believe by faith that this wasn't some deceiver or some fraud coming down the road here. She didn't know that there was a son. She didn't know there was a bridegroom looking for a bride. She just heard that from this servant. And by faith, she believed it. And she received him into her home. You know what she got when she received him into her own home? By faith, having heard the report about the Father and about the Son, you know what she got? She got a couple of bracelets. She got a couple of earrings. You say, well, that's nothing. I thought Abraham was one of the richest men in the world. Yeah, but that was just the earnest. That's just the earnest, the down payment. That was just a little something to hold her over until they got back to the Father's house. And you know what you've got now? You've got eternal security. You've got peace in time of trouble. You've got a comforter, the Holy Ghost. You've got guidance and direction right here in this Word of God. You have a lamp for your feet and a light for your path. You have someone who promised to be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And you know what that is? That's just a couple of little bracelets and a set of earrings to hold you over until you get home to the Father's house. You have been given the earnest of your inheritance, just a little down payment. Well, let me tell you something. If a couple of earrings and bracelets are this good, let's just get on out of here right now. Let's just go on home to the Father's house. She heard the witness. She believed the witness. By faith, she received the witness. And when she did, she got the down payment. Amen. Now watch this in verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Do you know what happens when somebody receives the witness about the Father and about the Son? The first thing they do is they start telling people what happened. Oh, you'll never guess what happened. There I was, a day just like any other day, and I was drawing water just like I draw water every other day. But somebody came by and told me about a father who had all kinds of riches. And somebody came by and told me that that father had a son who was looking for a bride. And somebody told me I could be that bride if I was just willing to go home with him. And mama, look what he gave me. Look what he gave me. And now you know what happened to you? One day you got up and you went to work just like you always go to work. One day you got up and you read the newspaper just like you always read the newspaper or whatever you do. One day you got up and you went to church just like you'd always gone to church. But that day, a messenger, a servant, happened to pass by your way. And he said, I want to tell you about a father. And he's got a son, a wonderful son, and he's looking for a bride. And if you'll be that bride, he's got a peace, he's got peace that passeth understanding, unspeakable joy, and inheritance in heaven. So many wonderful things. And you said to that servant, come and stay with me. Because you were thrilled, not with the father that you had seen, but with the father that had sent you those gifts. And not with the bridegroom that you'd ever beheld with your eyes, but just the report, just the anticipation of seeing him one day. And that just welled up in you, and you just couldn't help but go home and tell somebody. Amen. That Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's no such thing as a secret conversion. There's no such thing as an unstated and an undeclared conversion to Jesus Christ. When Jesus moves in, he'll move out. When he moves in your heart, he'll move out your lips. That's the truth. That's just the truth. It's what happens. Now, if you want to do something really enjoyable, take Genesis 24 and take John chapter 4, and you just look at two women who are drawing water at a well, and you watch how many things match up there. And you know what that woman did at the well in John chapter 4? She ran and told everybody. She said, "I found a man, I found a man, I found a man." What do you mean she found a man? She wasn't looking. She wasn't looking for Jesus. He came there. He found her. And Rebecca didn't find this servant. The servant found her. Bless God. Now look at verse 29. And Rebecca had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earrings and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebecca his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. You know what happened? What happened when this woman went and told about the servant? Went out there and told about the bridegroom? Went out there and told about the father? You know what happened? Others believed. And others received him because of her testimony. And you know what she did? She didn't go and say, "Let me tell you about those 10 camels that he's got." She didn't go and say, "Let me tell you about the father's house and how rich he is." You know what the Bible said in verse number 30? It says, "And when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, 'Thus spake the man unto me,'" you know what she did? She went and declared the word that she had heard from the servant. And when she declared the word regarding the father and the word regarding the son, others received the message. They received it as well. Amen. You know what happens when God passes your way and you decide, "I want to be part of that bride"? You're going to start speaking for Jesus Christ. And you won't speak about his camels. You won't speak about his tents. You won't speak about his bank account. You'll speak the words that the servant gave you when he spoke to you. You say, "Well, I don't know the Bible well enough to be a witness." Do you know what the Holy Spirit of God told you about your sin? Do you know what the Holy Spirit of God told you about being born again? Then you got enough to get somebody else to that servant so that he can come and get to know the Father and the Son. Amen. That's all she told him. She just told him what the servant told her, and that did the job. Wonderful job. All right, verse 32. Let me show you something else that happens when you meet this servant. The Bible says, "And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, 'I will not eat until I have told mine errand.' And he said, 'Speak on.' And he said, 'I am Abraham's servant.'" And he begins to tell the story. Now, Laban and Laban's wife and their son and the whole family there, they're all sitting around the table. It's evening time. They've done a hard day's work on the farm. The camels have been watered down at the well. Rebecca is back, and now it's supper time. But you know something? Rebecca has met a servant of the father. And now the son, Rebecca's brother I'm talking about, he's gone out and he's met the servant who told him about the father and about the bridegroom. And the servant says, "I'll tell you what, how about I tell you about the father and about the bridegroom?" And the servant said, "I'll tell you what, and the family says, "Well, hey, we'd rather hear about the father and the son than we would eat eating supper." You know? You know what happens when you become a part of that bride? All these material things don't matter. You know, all these material things don't mean near as much as they used to. In many places, places where church is on Sunday morning, 12 o'clock noon on Sunday, that's the bewitching hour, you know, when all the church people race to the restaurant. Here, we got food waiting for us right over there as soon as we're done. But you'd rather hear 10, 15, 20 more minutes about the Father and about the bridegroom than run over there and eat, right? Amen? I'm going to tell you something. It'll change your appetite when you get in touch with the Father. It'll change your appetite when you get in touch with the Son. It'll change your appetite when you receive that servant and when he comes to dwell in you. It'll change your desires, change your interests, change the things that are important to you when you really and truly meet the bridegroom's servant. Amen. Verse number 35. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and is become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. Okay, and this goes all the way down to verse number 41. Well, let me tell you what happens. Just like every other day, this woman is out drawing water. Just like every other day, this woman is watering the camels. Just like every other day, the family is back home taking care of what the things they got to take care of. And when the servant comes to Rebekah, he didn't tell her about how rich the master was. He just said, my master sent me to seek a bride for his wonderful son. He didn't tell her about the plans and the details and the agreement that the servant had with Abraham. The master said, he just said, would you like to be the bride? Now, once she had received that servant and by faith had been betrothed to that son of Abraham, now you see them sitting at the table and getting all the details and all the information that you don't get out there at the well. All the information that you don't get until you agree to be part of the bride. But once you receive that servant, and once he moves in to live with you, then the details begin to unfold. Then the information begins to be bestowed upon you. That's why, man, you can study the Bible and you'll never make sense of this book. And you know, you can study the Bible. You can go off to Bible school. You can get this book and that book, and you join this program and that Bible study. You'll never make sense of this book, because you can't get it until the servant sent from the Father's house moves into your house and reveals to you what went on up there when nobody else was around but the Father and the Son and the servant. You can't get that information from anybody but the servant who was there. Amen. Now look at verse 42. Well, we're turning some pages today, aren't we? Verse 42, the Bible says, And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, okay. Now, you know what he's doing. He's telling Rebekah, listen, all Rebekah knew, I went out there to get water, and this guy said, Do you want to be a bride to the bridegroom? That's all she knew. But now that the servant has come to be her companion, now he's saying, Rebekah, I want to tell you something. Before you ever even got to that well, I was interceding. Before you ever got to that well, I was praying that the one who was willing to be the bride to Isaac would come by this way. Now, you know what you find out? Well, you find out after you're saved. You know what you find out after you've received the witness? You begin to look back, and the Holy Spirit begins to say, oh, no, that wasn't that wasn't luck that got you through that car wreck. I was sparing your life. That wasn't coincidence that put that outspoken Christian on your job. That was me seeking you. That wasn't some coincidence or chance circumstance that brought you to that place on Sunday morning. I had that all laid out. Now, you don't know that the day you don't know any of that stuff the day you received the witness. But the longer you commune with that servant sent down from the Father, all the pieces of the puzzle of your life begin to fit, begin to make sense. And the more you look back and say, boy, God ordered that, and God ordered that, and God brought me here, and God brought him here. And, you know, she didn't just happen to show up at the well the same day that servant came to the well. God had something going back there behind the scenes. Thank the Lord for that. He does the same thing for you. He did the same thing for me. Then watch this, verse 48. The Bible says, and I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Are you sure, Rebecca? Are you willing to leave all for the bridegroom? You're not born of the will of man. You're not born of the will of the flesh. You're not born of human planning and circumstances. Her father couldn't make that decision for her. Her mother couldn't make that decision for her. Her brother couldn't make that decision for her. The servant couldn't make that decision for her. Rebecca, it's up to you, honey. Are you willing to leave it all and come and be joined to the bridegroom? It's up to you. It was a right response from the family. Hey, we can't add, we can't subtract, we can't add anything to that message. We can't take anything from that message. God is in this, clearly. We're going to leave it alone. We're not going to add baptism to it. We're not going to add church membership to it. We're not going to add good deeds to it. We're not going to add commandments to it. We're not touching it. God worked this whole thing out. We're either going to respond to the message that the servant brought down from the Father regarding his son, or we're not going to respond. We're going to leave it alone. And watch what happens. Verse 51. Behold, Rebecca is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebecca, and he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Do you know something? When you get right with God, not only does God bless your life, but he so blesses your life that it spills over onto the lives of those around you. Your job is a better place to work because there's a saved person there. Your neighborhood is a better place to live because there's a saved person there. Your community is a better place to raise a family because there are saved people and a Bible-believing church there. It just spills over. It can't help but be that way. And then the Bible says in verse number 54, and they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. She received the message of the servant regarding the father and his son. She said, I'll be the bride. I'd love to be the bride. She went and told the family. The family said, "Wonderful, this is great. And we too believe the message about the Father and the Son." Then the Holy Spirit says, "All right, let's start traveling toward the Father's house. Cut those apron strings that make you dependent on your parents. Break those ties and let's move out and head for the Father's house." Then the family says, "Oh no, now wait a minute. I didn't know it was going to involve all that. Oh, wait a minute. I thought maybe the Father was going to come down here and bring peace on earth. I thought maybe the Father would send the Son down here and we just kind of let grace come into our life. You know, we'll keep living the way we've always lived and doing the things we've always done and talking the way we've always talked and fellowshipping with the people we've always fellowshipped with. But we thought Jesus would come and be part of that. We need another player on the bowling team in case somebody has the flu. That's what we're looking for." And the servant said, "No, what I'm looking for is someone who is willing to leave it all and to come and walk with me. I'll be their companion. They can be my companion. And we'll walk together to the Father's house. We'll walk together and get closer and closer and closer every day to the place where the bridegroom dwells with his Father." I'll tell you something, when you make that decision, when that begins to be the topic of discussion, then the old friends, they're going to grab you. Then the kinfolk, they're going to grab you. Then the even fellow church members are going to grab you and say, "Oh no, stay right here. You're already going to be his bride. You're already going to dwell in the Father's house. Just stay here with us. Wait for him to come and get you. There's no point in going off with this stranger. There's no point in being fanatical about this. Just stay with the rest of us until the right time." Sound familiar? Amen. Verse 56, "And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go." She's got a new master now. She's got a new love now. She's got a new affection now. She's got a new home now. Yes, she may have to spend a long and difficult journey in between the time she leaves her father's house and finally arrives at the house of the bridegroom. But she's willing to make that trip if it'll get her one day closer, if it'll get her one step closer to the house of the bridegroom. She loves him more than her own flesh and blood. She loves him more than her own family fireplace. She loves him more than everything she's known all of her life. The servant says, "Let's head for the master's house." She's ready to go right now. What a picture of the bride of Christ. Notice the promise, verse 59. "And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his man." Okay, so they didn't go with her. There were a lot of people that received the message. There was a lot of people who believed the message about the Father and the Son, but they won't walk with the Spirit. They won't leave their old life. They won't leave their old ways. They sent her out, but they're not going to go with her. You know that's how it is. Okay, if you've been saved any length of time, you know a lot of people will walk an aisle. They'll get saved. And they're just as sure on their way to heaven as anybody else, but they won't leave that old life and walk with the servant sent down from the Father. But watch what happens with those that do. Verse 60, "And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." People will mock you. They will criticize you. They'll make fun of you. They'll kill Christians. They'll banish Christians from the earth. You know how all that stuff has gone through church history? Well, guess what? The whole place belongs to my bridegroom. You may hate me. You may cast me out. You may persecute me. You may kill this body. But you know something? One day, I am going to possess all that belongs to my enemies. Not because I'm any special one. I'm just the bride of the bridegroom. And he's going to come and take the whole thing for himself. 61, and Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels. Okay, some people will go with you. Maybe it won't be the important people. They won't be the people closest to you, but some will go with you. And they rode upon the camels and followed the man. What does the true bride do? Follows the leading of the servant sent down from the Father. See that? They followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went her way. No. He knows the way to the Father's house. He's the one that knows. So he went his way. And she was just smart enough to follow him. She didn't say, sir, shouldn't we go to the right and take a little shortcut here? Don't you think it'd be a little easier this way? No, she just followed along and said, I'll trust him. I'll trust the servant. He knows the way to the Father's house. He knows the way to the bridegroom. I'll just follow him. He knows the way. Amen. Look at verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Now, I want you to see something. The bridegroom, the son, he didn't go to seek a bride, remember? The servant went and got the bride. Now, the servant is bringing the bride to Isaac. Her natural father's house, that's far behind. Okay, she's on her way to a brand new family, a brand new home and everything. Now, the son, he has, for the first time in all the book of Genesis, he has left the father's house. And he meets the bride before she gets there. Are you getting the picture here? And together they go to the father's house. We are following the blessed Holy Spirit of God. We have left the world behind. We are on our way to the Father's house. And you know something? It could be this very afternoon that the Son will step out of his Father's house, come out into the field to meditate, and we'll meet him right there and go on into the Father's house together and get married. How about that? Verse 65, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? You know something? All this time she'd walked by faith, not by sight. She'd never seen Isaac, but she loved him. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:8 about the Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. When you see Jesus, you'll say, who's that? I'm looking for a fellow with long brown hair and shiny blue eyes and a pretty white robe. Who's that? Well, haven't you read Revelation 1? Well, yeah, I did, but in Luke 24, he looked different. Yeah, I understand that. In John chapter 1, he looked different. I understand that. In John 20, he looked different. Listen, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We don't love Jesus because he's got a pretty face. We love him because he laid down his life and he died for us that we might become the heirs of all things. And then the Bible says, the rest of verse 65, and the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. Now, you know something? We still do this at weddings. today, and probably nobody knows why. The Bible says when that servant saw Rebekah, she was fair to look upon. And you know something? Compared with all those other women down there on the earth, she was probably the prettiest one in that whole bunch. And you know something? Down here on this earth, the Christian that has left all to follow Christ and is walking in the way of the Holy Spirit and is obedient to the leading and the guiding of the servant that was sent down from the Father, I'll tell you something, our lives shine in the midst of this dark world. Saved people say all the time, don't get me wrong, I'm no better than the next person. Why? You should be. Saved, born again, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, living by the Bible. Bless God, you ought to shine just as lights in this dark world. Rebekah did. The church does. But when Rebekah saw Isaac, I'm nothing compared to him. And you know something? You can brag about your giving, brag about your serving, brag about your Christian life, brag about what you know about the Bible, and you may be the best Christian in the best church and the best dispensation that's ever been on the face of this earth. But I guarantee you, when you see Jesus, when I see Jesus, we're going to say, God have mercy. I'm not what I thought I was. You may brag down here about what you do for Jesus, but when you get up there, you'll veil your face in the presence of his glory. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Amen. Verse number 66. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Okay, so the Spirit reports to the Son and presents the bride. That's the way it is. Verse 67, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Sarah, the father's wife, Abraham's wife, is a picture of the nation of Israel. Isaiah 54 says Israel broke their relationship with their bridegroom, Jehovah, God the Father. They broke that relationship with God the Father. Hosea 1, Hosea 2, unfaithful, adulterous wife, broke his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ came down and came unto his own, and his own received him not, the Bible says. He came as the King of the Jews, and they said, crucify him, away with this man, we'll not have this man to reign over us. And God cut that nation off, put them away. And Jesus went to the cross, and the joy that was set before him, and he said, you weren't a nation, you weren't a people, you weren't a tribe, you were nothing but a bunch of scattered Gentiles all over the face of this earth. And I loved you, and you loved me, and I am comforted over the loss of the nation Israel. I'll love my church. I take her unto myself, and she'll be my beloved for all of eternity. That's the marriage of the Lamb the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation. I'll show you one more thing. If you read Genesis 25, 26, 27, right on through, the servant comes down from the Father, draws the bride, leads the bride, presents the bride to the Son, and then he vanishes. You don't read anything else about Abraham's servant. Once the bridegroom and the bride are wed, think about that. Next time somebody says, nobody cares, and your life doesn't matter, and it's just a rat race you're caught up in. You're just a little robot living out some mindless program. The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, is on this earth for your benefit. He's here to draw you to Christ. He's here to lead you home to the bridegroom. And once you get home to the bridegroom, his work is finished. Now think about that. The third person of the Godhead lives on this earth to draw and protect and lead and care for the bride. So you say, well, Brother Bob, I'm not sure I want to get saved, but if the Lord comes today, and well, in the great tribulation time, I'll be sure not to take the mark. You're pretty crazy. The servant is taking the bride back to the father's house, and he doesn't come back to visit Laban and his family and see how they're doing. You just don't read anything more about him. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. If you've never been saved, never been born again, I know that the Spirit of God at some time has drawn you to Jesus Christ. Because he's been lifted up on the cross, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He will draw you. Will you come and be one of his own? We pray that you will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that we have such a miraculous book, one that's clearly got your autograph on it. Lord, we just are blessed to have your words and this picture that you've given us of how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives and has worked in our lives. Help us, Lord, to follow him through whatever we need to go through to get to you. And Lord, we thank you that you even were working in our lives before we ever received that servant. You made all the circumstances right so that we might humble ourselves and be receptive to the message of the Holy Spirit, the message about the wonderful Savior who died for our sins, that we might receive him and have eternal life. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here today that has not received him, has not welcomed that servant, and not received his message, I pray that today would be the day that they receive him and start their journey toward the Father's house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.